Turn in our Bibles
to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, for a short scripture reading. We're reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and reading from verse 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and reading from verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to his precious word. Let's unite in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank thee for all that has taken place already today. We thank thee for the children who have sung and have taken part. And we bless thee for the messages that have been brought to our hearts. And we thank thee for the reading of thy word. And speak, our God, through thy word to us now, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. In the days of the Lord Jesus, the job of being a shepherd wasn't a very easy one. It was a very difficult and indeed a lowly occupation. Shepherds were very often ignorant men, not because they were stupid or because of any defect in their intellect, but because of the job that they hadn't the opportunity to go along to the temple or to hear the teaching that the rabbis would have given and the instructions that were given to them. And so as a result, they were very often ignorant men. And the life of the shepherd in those days was by no means easy. We have the picture of them out sitting on the fields and maybe relaxing there, just looking after the sheep. But the life of a shepherd was a very hard and difficult one. They had to look after the flock. They had very little money from it. They had to guard against the wild animals. And they had to be out during the night, constantly watching, constantly aware, always prepared for any eventuality. And sometimes they had no shelter if they looked after the sheep. Indeed, we find that very often here, they had to suffice with a sheepskin rug or something along that lines. We read of them here keeping watch over their flocks by night. It was only in the cool months that the sheep would have been led out into the pasture in the daytime. In the rest of the year, in order to avoid the heat of the day, they were fed at night. And what would happen is that they would be led to the pasture sometimes towards the sunset, and they would stay out there feeding during the night. And sometimes the shepherds would build a crude shelter, but oftentimes they would just be out there under the stars. And sometimes they suffered from exposure. In other words, boys and girls, the cold of the night would so get to them that they would become painful. Indeed, it was known for them that the skin of their feet would peel off. So great was the hardship and the difficulty that they encountered. But notice that these humble shepherds here were the people to whom the Lord was pleased to reveal the great news that the Lord Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. You notice that the Lord didn't go to the priests and the doctors of religion who were in Jerusalem at that time, the learned rabbis, the ministers, as it were. These were the people who you would have thought the announcement would have been brought to. But no, it wasn't to them, but to the humble shepherds. Go to the palace, to Herod, the great ruler, the man who looked after the affairs of state and had the great power of the land in his hand. No, the angels didn't appear to Herod or to any of the rulers, but it came to humble shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. But who better than humble men to receive the news of salvation to all men? And who better to get the news of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, than shepherds? And the one who was to proclaim himself the good shepherd, and they heard the great news that he had come into the world and was born there in Bethlehem. But you notice the story of the shepherd here, and we see their progression as they come to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that the way that they're brought into Bethlehem, they come into contact with the Savior, and their lives are never the same again. And you know, the picture of how the shepherds come and are brought to the Savior is a great picture of how men and women ought to come to the Savior's side and come into His presence and find His salvation. And men and women, boys and girls, if you come into contact in salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ today, I tell you this, that your life will never be the same again. And so just for a few minutes at the end of our meeting, we want to look at the lowly shepherds, and we want to see what the Word of God has to say about them as they come to meet the Savior. The first thing I want you to see is the proclamation that they heard. They heard something that told them about the Savior. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And you notice the exciting promise there. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now we read here that as these angels came, that the shepherds were full of fear. And very often, when the message of the Savior and the message of salvation comes to men and women, it fills them with fear because of the blackness of their own heart or because of their own sinful condition. That message of great joy is something that brings fear to their hearts. And these men couldn't understand what this was. They saw the light of heaven and the splendor of these heavenly creatures, and it was something out of the ordinary and something away from what they could understand. And they feared. The angel says, first of all, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And boys and girls, men and women, that's what the Savior wants to bring to you. That's what the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. He comes to bring great joy. That's what God wants for us. He wants great joy. When He made men and women and He put them in the Garden of Eden, when He made Adam and then He made Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, they had fellowship one with another, and there was a joy in the meeting of man with God, and there was a joy in the fellowship that they had. And that joy was taken away when sin entered in, and there was a breach between man and God, and God drove man out of the garden, and man had no more joy. Where do you find joy? Where do you find peace? You find it in the Savior. What did the angels say? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Here is the source of joy. Now, you might have joy at this time of the year. You might have joy in the presents that you get. You might have joy in meeting with relatives that you don't meet with at other times. You might have joy in the outward circumstances. But what I am talking about this morning is a joy that is right down in the heart. A deep down joy that doesn't matter about the circumstances. And there may be difficulties that we face.
and trials and all sorts of black days that we go through. But the child of God is a person who has a joy that is right deep down in the heart. And that is the joy, men and women, a lasting joy, a joy that will not end, a joy that is eternal, that the Saviour promises to men and women. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Do you want joy? Real joy? Wonderful joy? Then let Jesus come into your heart. We notice that there was an exciting promise. But then we notice also an extensive proclamation. He says that it was great joy to all people. This joy is for all people. You see, in this world we have all sorts of divisions, in many ways artificial divisions that are made. And the people in the Saviour's day were also divided. There were rich and there were poor. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. And the Jews despised the Gentiles. There were those in the community who were counted as righteous. And then there were people who were counted as sinners. But you notice what the angel said. This joy is to all people. Now it doesn't matter what way you are today. You might be an upright person, or you might be right down there in the gutter. You might be down in the very stinking filth of sin. But this is a message which is not just to the religious people, not just to the people who are going along and getting involved in the charitable things of this day and generation, or who go along to church or anything else. It is to all people. Now, it's not found in church. And it's not found in charity. It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is joy to all people. And then you notice that it is a proclamation of peace here. He speaks not only of joy, but he speaks of peace in the heart. And they proclaim peace on earth. Now maybe you say to me, but there is no peace even today. You know, people are fighting with one another and there are wars here and wars there, and we switch on the news every day and there is no peace in this world. In fact, the last century or so has been a century in which there have been more wars than any other. So where is the peace? Well, of course, the peace that is spoken of here, well, there's a double aspect of the peace. But there's a peace with man to man. But the most important peace that you could have is a peace that you have with God. Is there a peace between you and your Maker? Is there a peace between you and the God of heaven? Or are you at war with God today? You see, God proclaims his way and he invites us to come to him, and he commands in his word that we repent and believe the gospel. Now he gives peace to those who come to him, but it's only a peace to those who come. Now, do you want peace with God? The Bible says, be ye reconciled to God. There is peace, a peace of heart. Maybe your heart is burdened down with sin today. Maybe there is a guilt there. You know that you're lost and undone and on the road to a Christless eternity, and you have no rest and you have no peace in your heart. There is a peace of God that passeth all understanding. You can have the peace of the Savior today. Do you not want peace at this time of the year? Do you not want peace that will last for all eternity? A peace that will bring you through the cold river of death and bring you out into that place of eternal bliss? Do you not want that peace, men and women, boys and girls? But also there is a peace of man with man. Because one day the Savior is coming again. And one day I believe he will set up his millennial reign and there will be peace. A peace of man with man. And that yet has to be fulfilled. It's like some of the prophecies of God's word. You see, there isn't an end to this, men and women. God's word is still being fulfilled today, and we can see it all around us. So we see the proclamation that the shepherds heard. They heard a news of joy and peace and blessing. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you need in your heart and in your soul? We notice the proclamation they heard. But also I want you to notice the purpose that they determined. What did they determine to do when they heard the message of God? Some people will ignore it. Some people will dismiss it. Some people will put the message off and determine to do something some other time. But look at what the shepherds did. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And you notice their faith there. They believe what the angel told them. They believe what the angel had said. God had sent his message from heaven, and they believed it. They believed it. They didn't dismiss it. They didn't wonder what it was that they had heard. But here was a warning, and they said, "We will act on the warning. We will act." Or what they heard, it wasn't really a warning in this case. It was a proclamation of joy. But they said, "We will act on that proclamation of joy." You know, men, women, God speaks at times. God speaks through his word. God speaks in the preaching of his word. But sometimes God sends along circumstances in the life. And God sends along difficulties or trials or sicknesses or accidents or some other thing by which he speaks to you. And he gives you the warning that you should go to the Savior. And those things are meant to prompt you to go to the Savior. And they are as warnings to your heart. Now, I wonder, have you heeded the warning? Now, these shepherds here, I could imagine maybe one of them. Now, we don't read about one of them here doing this, but you could imagine one of them saying, "No, I don't. What is this? What is this that we have heard? We've never heard anything like this before. This is our imagination. There's something wrong. We've been out too long in the middle of the night. We have lacked sleep too long, and this is our imagination." And maybe they never went. You know, sometimes people treat the warnings of God like that. They say to themselves, "Well, that is something that maybe is a figment of my imagination. It's only my mind playing tricks. This guilt that I feel, this need to go to Christ." And maybe you would be like someone who has never gone. You have never heeded the warning of God. But you need to heed the warning. You say to me, "But preacher, if I had had an angel come down from heaven, I would have believed." No, you wouldn't. See, we have an awful ability to explain things away. To explain, as it were, as coincidences. Remember what the Savior said to Rich, opened his eyes in hell, and asked if he could go and warn his brothers. If he could rise out of hell and go and warn his brothers not to come there. What did the Lord say to him? "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuade it, though one rose from the dead." And if an angel was to stand here in the middle of this service, you might not believe him either. But heed the warning. There may be things that have happened in your life, and God is speaking to you. Heed the warning. Now notice their immediate purpose here. We notice their faith, but look at what they said here. They said, "Let us now go." They didn't see the point in delay. They didn't put it off to the next day or to some other day in the week when it would be more convenient, when they brought their flocks down from the field or something else. They said, "Let us now go." And it says in verse 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Let me tell you, if you really believe God's word, you will go with haste. For what would you be doing? Dallying about and your soul's eternal welfare on the line. What would you be doing? Dallying about. What would you be doing waiting to tomorrow when there's a danger that you might go out on that road today and be ushered out into a Christless eternity? Why would you wait? Why would you wait? Remember what the Lord said, or what Elijah rather said on the Mount of Carmel, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him." That's what I'm telling you today. Follow him. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, "See, I set before you this day life and good and death and evil. What way are you going to go? There's something else I want you to see about these shepherds. When they did determine to go immediately, they left behind the very thing that had been important to them before. You see, all their wealth was bound up in their sheep. All their wealth was bound up in the flocks that they had out on the fields. And they had been out there night after night looking after them. And they had gone to the point of hardship. And they had sat out there under a sheepskin in the cold. And they had suffered deprivation. And they had suffered cold. And they had suffered pain to look after these flocks. And they had gone and attacked and defended from wild animals. And they had taken on these fierce beasts rather than let their flocks be taken. But what do they do now? They leave the flocks. And they go down to Bethlehem. They leave all their wealth behind. They're willing to leave everything behind to get to where the Savior is. Oh, everything was bound up in what was on the field. It was their life. It was their every waking thought from dawn to dusk. But they leave it all because they want to get to where the Savior is. Dear friend, I don't know what it is that is keeping you back from Christ. But if you really know who the Savior is, you'll leave everything, you'll leave anything behind to get to where the Savior is. And these shepherds, they were determined not to let anything keep them back. And I say the same to you, don't let anything keep you back. We see the proclamation they heard. And we notice also the purpose that they determined. But notice then, thirdly, the person they saw. Notice when they came to the stable at Bethlehem, it says they entered into the stable. I don't know what they thought when they saw the conditions. They had heard that this is the one who was born King of the Jews, and they come in and they see him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. But it says in verse 16, it says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now they saw Mary and they saw Joseph. But the one who was the focus of their attention was the babe that was lying in a manger. And when they saw the Savior, all their misgivings and all their doubts and all their thoughts about the surroundings faded away when they saw Christ. And I don't know whether you have misgivings today about the gospel. Maybe you have misgivings about the surroundings. You've never been in a church maybe like this. Maybe you are unfamiliar with the surroundings here today. And it's a little bit unfamiliar to you. But you know, don't be put off by the surroundings. For if you can get to Christ, doesn't matter about the surroundings. Doesn't matter about all those that are around about you. If you can see Christ, the surroundings will mean nothing. But what a life-changing moment when these men saw the Savior. The Lord said to the people of His day, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets have a desire to see these things, and ye see." It's wonderful to see the Lord. It's wonderful to come into contact with the Savior. But the Lord says today, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else." These men saw the Savior with their eyes. Now we want you to look by faith to Him and come to the one whom to know His life eternal. And we notice here the person that they saw. They saw the Savior. That's the one we want you to see. We're not uplifting a church. We're not uplifting a creed. We're not uplifting a communion or anything else. We want you to look to Christ. We want you to look to the Savior. Will you look to Him? Will you look to Him? And you notice what these men did then. They went out and preached Christ. Verse 17 says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see, their lives were changed now. Their lives were transformed, and that's what you get when you meet the Savior in reality. When He comes into your heart and cleanses your sins away, your heart is changed, and you go out and proclaim Him. You go out and tell others about the Savior that you have met. Now, these were poor, ignorant shepherds. They weren't used to preaching. They weren't used to telling anything. But they were so thrilled, and their hearts were so changed, and their lives were so transformed by the Savior, that they couldn't help but go out and tell the things that had happened to them. Men, women, if you get saved today, you'll be able to go out and tell of the greatest present and greatest gift that you've ever received, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what about it, men and women? What about the Lord Jesus today? What about the Savior of the world? Is He your Savior? You know, if we have proclaimed the Word of God today, we're pointing you to Christ. Will you be like these humble shepherds? These ignorant shepherds who are wise enough to say, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem." Will you go now to the Savior? At the end of our meeting, will you come and bow the knee and ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and into your life? Will this be the day of your salvation? Men, women, let it be. Let that be the case. That this is the day of your salvation. This is the day when you get right with God. This is the day when you find the Savior. When you heed the warning and heed the proclamation. And go now, even to Bethlehem, and find the Lord Jesus Christ. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Father, we do rejoice in our Savior today. We thank Thee for the one who went all the way to Calvary, suffered and bled and died. We thank Thee for the Lord Christ, the blessed Savior, the Redeemer. O God, may men and women turn to Thee and find Thee as their Savior and as their Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.